Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thanks for listening to Saints Happy Hour. We are a family here. You know what families do? They support each other. And if you aren't a patron, we need your support. All the great content you consume for free takes time and money. If you love the show and listen regularly, please become a patron. We need you. Supporting Saints Happy Hour can cost you as little as 23 cents a day. That's what the Saints should have paid Kenny Stills. So please go to Patreon/Saints Happy Hour and support the show today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. We are on Twitter Spaces tonight. We're trying this out for the first time. Kevin, you're joining us. Sean Payton retired today. And like I was telling people before we started the official show, I got emotional writing that Channel 4 column. I think it's because Drew Brees, I was emotionally prepared for it. We had been going through the dance with him for 2 years, and he like gave us a soft landing. Sean Payton, it dropped out last week, and it was kind of ebb and flow. And you're like, oh, he's definitely leaving. Then he's like, no, he's going to stay. It hit me hard, man. And I just think of him as we may be blessed with another great Saints coach in our life. Maybe, probably not, but maybe. But I'm 100% sure we are never going to have a Saints coach that is going to play The Circle of Life by Elton John to troll his defensive coordinator that he fired after running a trick play where Willie Snead threw a touchdown. Like, Sean Payton always got New Orleans and got the fans and gave us a wink and a nod. And he was petty like New Orleans people are. And we loved him for it, you know? And it's just one of those things where I'm pretty emotional as I wait for Kevin and Dave. Dave, if you're with us, unmute yourself. There's Kevin. Kevin, how are you tonight? How are you doing tonight?
Okay. I was stunned, because literally we were texting earlier today and Dave had sent a message about, you know, oh, Underhill said that they were having a meeting or like a discussion. And I then go on Twitter and the first tweet I see was somebody else. I can't remember who it was, but somebody just said, good for Sean Payton. That was all it said. And I'm immediately okay, what the hell is that? No. So I start scrolling backward and I see he's retiring. And then I sent it to you guys in our text chat. And yeah, it was very stunning, especially because true to form, we put out, audio on the big show. And then the next day,
that's right,
something happens.
It's going to be so back. Dave said he was going to die on the hill, that it was all a,
yeah,
all a
scam. Yeah, he's already dead.
People to watch his Netflix movie.
He's already dead. Like,
Dave,
it's not
Dave,
the first time dead. We've looked like horses' asses, and it won't be the last.
No, it's not. We won't.
Yeah, nobody. Wait, first of all, how do I sound? What do I want to speak into?
You sound fine.
Directly into my.
You sound fine.
Okay. I hate these app things. get off of my lawn. yeah, look, I'm still I'm in disbelief. I'm going to choose to believe that this is actually just the final piece de resistance in the whole marketing campaign for the movie Home Team coming out on coming out on Netflix this Friday.
Have some respect.
Shut up, Kevin.
Learn how to take the L, Dave. At some point, you got to take the L.
That's right.
Oh, I totally. You think I can defend myself at all? No.
Could pull a Jeff Duncan and just stop interacting, like just stop tweeting. I feel like he's just ignoring all the people that are like, I thought you said Sean Payton was.
He did. People are tweeting the sports cover from Saturday at Duncan.
Well, I'm not a Big J journalist. I don't have credentials or nobody like actually thinks that.
No one's a journalist in here, I don't believe.
Yeah, nobody thinks my word is actually means anything.
So this is my first time on Twitter Spaces, and it looks like we got a lot of people in here.
We do. Cool. It's
yeah. This is way better than I won't say their name.
Spotify.
Don't say the name.
Don't even say the name. You know. They might. Twitter will probably cut us off.
No, but I was thinking right before we got on. Plot twist. Now I'm pissed off that they beat the Falcons in the final week of the season.
What?
I think if they lose that game, they have a losing season. No way Peyton can retire on that note.
No.
I think if the Saints lose to the Falcons final week, I think Peyton's still our coach.
I left work today. I have not had a chance to listen to the full press conference. But I listened to y'all's, emergency podcast that you and Juge had, and I about swerved off the road once or twice because I'm just like, boy, you guys, y'all are just like, man, I feel like he put us in a bad position. I feel like he's walking away. Why has he got to do that? This and that. And now you want to come off with, oh, now I wish he didn't beat the Falcons in the final game. If anything, that is perfect. That is perfect.
That's how you want to go out.
It's the perfect.
That's exactly how you want to go out.
But here's the thing. You're proving my point.
He made up his mind, Dave. I believe that it was done. He said that he wasn't collecting mementos, and he was just like, "Yeah, this is a beat the Falcons one more time. This is it. This is a cool way to end it." And I think there was maybe a path for him to stay, but kind of coaching, Andrew, is like, once you're like, I think I want to retire, like you're done. Like you can't be like kind of all in a coaching. And that's part of Gale today was like,
no half measures.
Yeah. Gale was like, hey, take a long sabbatical, come back for training camp. And Sean Payton's like, I can't do that. One, we need a quarterback. And
is Kevin insanely loud to you guys?
He is, but that's Kevin for him.
Well, I'm getting right up on my phone.
Yeah, right. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to join us and give thoughts, request to talk, we'll let you.
Kevin, give your phone the old COVID, 6-foot distance thing.
I'm not doing that. I'm just going to talk. How do I sound now?
You're fine.
Better. I just can't hold my phone up to my face. Sorry.
Right. Now, wait. I had one point I wanted to make. Florio came out with that article. Now, this is what I was referring to, Andrew, on our post on our podcast earlier. And I think Florio was planning on releasing this in March when his book was coming out. But I guess now with the news, he decided he would mention it now. But basically, he's saying in 2019, Sean Payton was already had his foot out the door. He was definitely
going to be Dallas,
a Dallas Cowboys head coach. And the only reason it didn't happen was because Anthony Davis wound up saying, I'm out of here, made the big stink, didn't sign his contract. And Mickey Loomis said, I can't have Anthony Davis leave. Because Mickey Loomis, you have to remember at the time, Mickey Loomis was also running the Pelicans. So, and Mickey said, Sean, I can't have Anthony Davis leave and then also you leave at the same time. I would be like the...
They'll drag me. They'll drag my body through the streets.
So he, at the last second...
I don't buy that for even half a second.
Well, all I'm going to say is if that's true...
And it's not.
It's a little black mark, I think, how I feel about Peyton, because I didn't realize that he would do.
You already have a bunch of black marks how you feel about him.
Kevin, I use humor during times of darkness, okay? I know not everybody grieves. And we don't all grieve the same way, okay, Kevin?
If we are Kelly's heroes, I am Donald Sutherland. Telling you guys about the negative vibrations. Y'all got to knock it off with that.
They don't have any person in this Twitter space that got that reference.
I don't get that one.
Yeah, we got a couple people that want to talk, and I want people to be able to say thank yous and their thoughts on Sean Payton. So we got a couple. First person I want to go it to is Depressed. His title is Depressed Saints Fan. Depressed Saints Fan. Your thoughts on Sean Payton no longer being a Saints coach?
thanks for having me on, guys. So I was tweeting earlier with Ralph, and I've been a Saints fan since I was like 10. So
how old are you now?
I'm 26.
He's all you know.
He's all I know. So it's really weird. It's really weird to like think that a new era of Saints football that like I've never embarked on is about to happen. And it's just like, I was fighting people like, oh, he's not going to leave. And then when the news broke and I saw Nick Underhill's tweet, I was just so sad. Like the rest of the day, I've been down. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all felt that way where your stomach, even though we saw it coming in the sense that the news was out there, your stomach sinks when you see that, and it hits different when you see that Underhill tweet. But I will say this, I mean, not that this is meant to make you feel any better, but you know, I'm 41 and I started, you know, I remember the early 80s, and there was a part about Sean Payton's press conference where he said, I'd like to believe that I left it better than I found it. That's obviously utterly and completely true. And my only hope for you is that we won't revert back. Like the Saints are in such a state now that they're just, as a franchise, they're not going to revert back to what it was like when I was a kid.
You know,
like you, we're starting with a clean slate, yes, but I think they're set up to succeed in ways that they were not even close to being set up to before Peyton was there. So that's the silver lining, in my opinion.
And thanks for the Depressed Saints Fan for joining us. I want to say this is people like him that are like 25, 26, and for all of us, Sean, in my opinion, Sean Payton, he might have not been, you can argue he's not the best coach because Belichick has the rings or whatever. But I'm telling you this, as far as rock star media attention, coach that the media cares about, Sean Payton was in a stratosphere by himself, and it is going to be really weird for the Saints to go back to just having a head coach that 90% of America and the media doesn't care about, because Sean Payton had this, I don't know what you call it, charisma, whatever, where like everything he did made headlines, and we went through this, is he going, is he leaving, like no other coach. Oh, just go through this. It's going to be a come down, Andrew. I don't know if I like it. I liked having the rock star coach. It was fun.
Personality wise, we'll never find anyone that, you know, and look, that's not to mean that people can't be successful. We can't get a different coach, but there'll never be another one like him.
I liked one of my favorite things during his press conference was when he was talking about himself. And he said, I like to think that I've been very friendly and amicable in my later years. He specifically said, you know, later years. Because he knew in his early years he was an asshole.
I don't know. I don't know that he was ever friendly and amicable to Kat Terrell. Let's call a spade there.
Catherine. So we got Jason C. He wants to speak. Jason, Jason Champagne. What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on Sean Payton leaving?
So, you know, I got to admit, when I first saw the tweet, I was pretty gutted. You know, I was hopeful that the smoke was just smoke. He was going to come back or maybe take a year off. But, you know, honestly, just reading the tea leaves from today's press conference, it was goodbye. And, you know, he's earned that right to be able to step away. I posted in the Discord about, you know, I've changed careers twice in my life. And, you know, each time I was successful where I was happy doing what I was doing. I was loved the people that I was, you know, working with. And it was a more than 10-year run each time. But, you know, sometimes you feel like the walls are closing in on you and you just need a new direction. You need a new challenge. And each career change for me was completely different from what I was doing before, you know. And I kind of feel that Sean's at that point. I can relate to where he is. And I know you guys were talking about how the Saints are set up for future success. And I kind of think back to, because I mean, I'm, I guess now I could probably consider myself one of the older guys. Because I've been a Saints fan since I was 9, and that was like Bum Phillips's last year. And, you know, when Jim Mora resigned, that man was done. And it wasn't just because Benson probably asked him or nudged him to resign after his comments about the team sucking. But the man was just emotionally, physically, mentally drained. And the team didn't.
It was sad to see him end that way.
It really was. And I'll never forget, I was driving back. I was going to Nichols at the time, and I was driving to work. And I heard the news break on 870 that Jim Mora had quit. And that was a gut punch. But it felt a lot sadder than today, because the organization, Mickey, Dennis Lauscha, Miss Gale, the entire culture is different than when Mora resigned. You had the three-headed monster. Jim Finks had, at that point, I believe, passed away. I know he had stepped away.
It was Jim Mora, Bill Kuharick, and Jim Miller. And then they asked who was in charge, and Jim Mora says, "I don't answer to either of those guys. I answer to Benson."
Yeah. You just kind of had a mess. You had a void. We don't have that today. There's a clear structure in place and a culture for success. And, you know, I know some people say, you know, why did Sean leave at a low point? I don't think it's a low point. It's an opportunity for him to have a rebirth, and it's kind of an opportunity for the Saints too, to move on to the next phase.
Oh
yeah, I think it's good, Ralph. That's a great point by Jason. You know that, and it really makes me think just about Sean Payton. First of all, look, this is his life. He can do whatever he wants, and good for him. Like we should all be so lucky to get to a point in our lives where we make enough money and we've had enough success that we can walk away from it and say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy my life for a little bit and clear the noise, because the football is a pressure cooker. We all see that. And like, it's hazardous to your health. It's very stressful. And look, like, good for him that he can walk away and do this. And you know, Jason's point is good. Like it's going to come to an end one day. And obviously, we would all love to see him leave after winning a Super Bowl. That would be incredible. That would be an incredible way to go out. But seldom does anyone ever get to write the script that way. And so, you know, of all the ways it can go out, I've seen it with Hazlitt. I've seen it with Jim Mora.
That's right.
And in disaster. And that's really ugly. And not only is it really ugly, but it kind of tarnishes the memory of the legacy. Because in some ways, like, that's like Jim Mora, like, we all look back on him fondly now, but that's part of his history, that miserable season at the end where he kind of lost his mind. And I don't want to see Sean Payton exit that way.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And the one thing I was thinking of is we've got a couple of people that want to speak. Steve, your thoughts on Sean
Payton? Yeah, hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying. And so Andrew, I'm kind of the same age as you. And I agree with what you said, that they are set up much better now than before Peyton. And I think a lot of that goes to what he talked about today when he was talking about the building, right? I mean, you look at around the franchises that seem to struggle year in and year out don't have the structure that they now have in place because of what partially that he's responsible for, right? He kind of came in that culture. And he talked about when he first got here, and he's talked about the 06 team many times, right? But then he talked about how he was mean to the media. I honestly think in some ways he had to do that, right? He kind of had to be a little bit of like, hey, we got to change the way things operate around here. But I mean, I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I mean, he's perfectly fine to go off and do what he does. The one thing that really stood out to me, though, 16 years, like I'm just looking around and I look at a picture of like me and my wife or me and my kids, and I'm like, oh, well, he was still the coach back then, and I looked a lot better, you know, 10 to 12 years ago. I was a lot younger, and it's a little depressing realizing I'm old now, you know?
And here's the thing, Steve, that is really – people, I don't think they understand. Like, Sean Payton, he's one of the few coaches that in his second decade was as successful as his first. Now, look, granted, he didn't win a Super Bowl. But, like, the list of coaches that have won 11 games four times in their second decade with a team, it's, like, Tom Landry and Don Shula and one other person. That's it. Like, he kind of had a second act with the 2017 draft. Yep.
I mentioned this on my Instant Reaction podcast with Dave, but I remember when the Saints hired Sean Payton, and I was not crazy about it. I didn't know much about Sean Payton, but what I did know was that he was the offensive coordinator for the Giants, and he got his play calling pulled from him from Jim Fossil. And I remember the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl.
Get to the Super Bowl.
And Fossil was like – it was a bad look for Sean Payton. Like, he did not look very appealing based on how that all played out. And so – look, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I knew about that situation, and I remember thinking, man, like this guy has a black mark on him, a black check mark, and I don't know about this guy, but he really hit the ground running in my wildest imaginations.
Yes, one more thing. I'll let other guys talk about the 17 draft. I think you're spot on there. Look back, we always compare him to Parcells, right? Parcells only did 8 years with the Giants before he eventually jumped and bounced around. So in some ways, we were fortunate to have Peyton go through his second team with the Saints, right? That 16 to 17 era and launching That's into right. that. And we were fortunate to get that. And to the other thing is him leaving now about all the, you know, the going out on a good note. I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but it kind of lessens the blow of 2018, 2011. It brings me some closure. So
it does not for me. No, that's like getting. It's like saying you're going to get over Macho Grande. I'll never get over 2018. Steve. Thanks.
It lessens it. It lessens it. That's all.
No, it maybe for you. I'm glad you can get past it. I cannot. All right.
Thanks, guys.
No, I was going to say. You know, as we had some people in here, we have a bunch of people. We'll try to get to everybody that wants to talk. The one thing that I was going to say, Kevin and Andrew, what's your sort of favorite Sean Payton, like, I wouldn't say like game, because that, but like off the field thing. And I'm thinking like, worry about your freaking meat, him destroying the fire alarm in Cincinnati, him wearing the Goodell shirt after the no call. The Circle of Life with Greg Williams. Like, what's your favorite, like, Sean Payton, I'm a jerk and I'm petty, but he's doing it to the other team, so we like it. What's your favorite one of those that Sean Payton did?
Kevin, you want to go? I got one. But do you
No. You go ahead, because I honestly can't think of an in-game. I mean, maybe the choking gesture.
to Devontae Freeman, who he later signed, which was hilarious. So mine is, well, when he does the skull celebration in the Viking Stadium, that was pretty great. But to me, I don't know why this one's my favorite, but he was so petty about Eagles fans egging
the team bus.
And I remember, and part of the reason I love this is with the whole media narrative that the Saints can't win a playoff game on the road, that they've never won a playoff game on the road. And Shane Graham, of all people, wins the game for the Saints with a walk-off field goal. And the Saints, you know, they shower, they do the media, whatever. They get on the team bus, and Sean Payton tells the driver, you know what? I want you to do a lap around the stadium. And so they do a victory lap around the stadium to make sure that all the Eagles fans that are around see the Saints bus circle the stadium twice. He does it again after the first time. So they circle the stadium twice. And it was that to me just encapsulates Sean Payton because he had a great sense of humor. He was a total competitor, but he was also a little bit petty.
And we love New Orleans. The only thing New Orleans loves more than king cakes is being petty. I mean, let's be real. So we got Budrich. Budrich, you're here. Tell us what you got, your thoughts on Sean Payton.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Andrew kind of took some of my thoughts, like, you know, how, you know, I'm glad when he left, it wasn't just on his own terms, because that's almost exceedingly rare for head coaches. Many of them, they either, you know, just retire because they're probably going to get fired soon, or, you know, they get fired and it's towards the end of the years where it just gets bitter and stale. All the players hate him. There's bickering. You got some quote unquote leaked about how some players are, you know, are just fed up and tired with him. I'm just glad, you know, when he went out, it's on his own terms. And, you know, he left with, honestly, probably better of an opportunity that another head coach could possibly get.
I mean, I think the Saints job, I think it's a, people are saying, oh, it's Saints are going back to being bad. There's, I think the Saints job, if you're a coach, you're like, get me that freaking job. You got an owner who doesn't meddle. You got a GM. You got Ireland, who's proven successful in the draft. I think it's going to be a job that people are going to want. Like, and granted, there's only 32 of them. But
I think when you have a GM, when you have a GM that has the capability of manipulating the cap however he wants, and you have an owner that's like, yeah, spend whatever you need to. Let's go right up against the cap. I mean, not every owner is like that. Not GMs aren't that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like, it's a desirable spot.
I mean, Sean Payton joked about it. He's like, we had the credit card and Miss Gale never told us no. They told us, well, we can't get it done by this time or whatever. But they never told us no. I think that's a rare thing. I mean, not every NFL team runs like the Saints, where Gale, like, she's not going to lose money, but she's not really concerned that the Saints aren't making a ton of money. She's going to run it a certain way. I think it's a really, really appealing job. The one thing I will say, too, is I know everybody's doing the countdown to when he becomes the Cowboys head coach. But, Kevin, I really think there's like a – I think he'll coach again, but I still think – I think there's a better chance than a lot of people think that Sean Payton might be a rock star on TV. Like, he's got the personality. He understands how to talk to fans and people in a way that, like, Drew Brees, for example, even though he was okay on TV, doesn't. I think there's a chance Sean Payton is a rock star on TV. And in like 2 years, when Jerry Jones is like, come coach the Cowboys, Sean Payton is like, get the hell out of here. I'm making $12 million a year doing Monday Night Football with Al Michaels. I'm not coming back to coach. Like,
I think you mean Sunday Night Football.
Well, no, I saw Al Michaels. ESPN wants Al Michaels. So,
oh, okay.
So he might be going.
Him being like Bill Cowher, because when Cowher retired after the 06 season, he was only 48 at the time. It's kind of hard to believe. And there were probably some inklings that he probably did want to come back to coach and just never did. So even if he doesn't get a gig, like, you know, being a play-by-play commentator or anything like that, I honestly think, you know, if he gets a nice job where he's probably shooting crap with whoever, whether it be ESPN or CBS or Fox, you know, he's going to enjoy himself, and he's probably not going to go back to coaching ever.
Maybe we'll see. I think it probably will. I just think it's a chance, because he's going to be so good on TV. He's going to be. he's going to be more like Madden than like Tony Romo. I don't think Sean Payton's going to be like predicting plays and stuff, but I think Sean Payton's going to be able to tell stories, do with the telestrator, explain why coaches are thinking. He's going to be able to do it in a relatable, understandable way that people are going to love. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know. But Butteridge, thanks for joining us as always. Andrew, I said in my WWL column I didn't want to think about the dark, cold future of New Orleans football. But we kind of have to. And here's the thing, not to just pitch our become a patron on Saints Happy Hour because we're awesome, but you should because we do a Saints podcast every day. We do breaking news. We beat everybody with breaking news reactions. You become a patron and you get a mug. It's cheap. It's awesome. You support us. We're amazing. But I have no idea how this offseason is going to go. There is so many different ways it could go with the Saints. Like, we're only going to be on here for an hour, 45 minutes or so. But, like, what's your first inkling of, like, what they're going to do? Not coach-wise, but, like, cap and personnel and quarterback. Like, are they going to continue there? We're going for it. We're trying to win, or are they gonna do something different?
I don't know, man. Everything is on the table. Like, I think the most likely scenario is that Dennis Allen is your coach. And to me, you can kiss Russell Wilson goodbye, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. None of that's happening. I think now that Sean Payton is gone, I would maybe have given it a 5% chance or less. It's zero now. Now, if they have Eric Bieniemy, if they hire him, if they hire some coach where all of a sudden you're like, maybe Russell Wilson is back in play. So I think everything is on the table. They could go YOLO. They could bring Teron Armstead back. They could blow the whole thing up. They could wait until June 1st, trade away Michael Thomas, trade away Kamara, trade away Lattimore, all for picks, fix their cap in 1 year and reload with an epic draft class orchestrated by Jeff Ireland. Like, that, those are the two extremes. And then there's everything in between. And I really think it's all in play, Ralph. That's the part that gets me excited, is that now that Sean Payton's gone, I'll be honest, I kind of lament the Taysom Hill contract now, because I'm just like, who is going to deal with that? You know? But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, you think he could have gave Mickey a heads up, be like, Mickey, I'm leaving. Don't give Taysom Hill any more money. But the thing about Taysom Hill is if they wouldn't have extended him, he still would have counted $9 million against the cap for next year. So, like, it's one of those rock and a hard place. We got Ann. Ann wants to talk to us. What's your thoughts on Sean Payton leaving? And do you have a favorite Sean Payton memory, Ann?
I actually have a question for Andrew. I need to know why you got blocked.
That's it? That's the question?
No, I have other comments, but it's been bugging me all day.
You want me to start with that? Okay. So Sean Payton, and this was someone on Twitter at some point said, the way I remember, this was a few years ago, but Sean said something like, someone tagged me on Twitter and said, you need to go on the Saints Happy Hour podcast. And I responded to that and said, yes. And Sean Payton was tagged. And I responded, yes, absolutely. Sean, if you come on, I promise I won't bring up Viking Gate. And obviously the joke was not appreciated. It did not land well. And he blocked me. And, you know, I have to say, since then, Connor Payton has come on our show, as you guys know, and I have a texting relationship with him. We talk all the time, and so I have a good relationship with Connor. And at one point, I texted Connor, and I'm like, look, hey, dude, can you get your dad to unblock me? Like, this is kind of embarrassing, but, like, it's going on years now. And he was like, I got you. Yeah. Like, I'll reach out to him now.
Yeah, sure. Nope.
And, like, he got back to me. He's like, yeah, sorry, no go on that. So he asked his dad, he's like, can you unblock me? He's like, I'm not doing that. And so, like, it's just perpetuated into infinity now. I'm never going to get unblocked.
He's petty, man. He remembers all the slights.
That's a story.
And one thing that I'll tell you this before you make your other comment. I'll say this. today I was still feeling pretty good, like he wasn't going to retire. And then I saw Jonah Barnes, who, by the way, does amazing work. You should follow him. He does hysterical Saints videos. He did a hysterical, like, 60-second video today of him at Sean Payton's door yelling at Sean Payton. And Sean Payton blocked him. And I was like, oh, no. That's a bad sign, like, that Sean Payton is blocking him. And then I got a bad sign. And then later, Sean Payton actually retired. And Jen Jonah DM'd me that the tweet of Thanos, what did it cost you? Everything. So go ahead, Anna. What's your thoughts on Sean Payton retiring and your favorite memories?
So I actually, the egg on the Philly buses, I really enjoyed because I had bought his book. And in his one of his like beginning seasons, he had told the players on the team, we're going to get egged. We're going to get hit with like 7 eggs. And he got 8. And he was so happy to be proved right. So I enjoyed it when it happened again. And then just his comments on Philly fans in the book, just seeing like one of the kids was flipping off the Saints bus. He's like, I believe that's called learned behavior. So all of those things building was probably favorite.
Yeah. No, I love the thing in 2006, they go to Dallas, stomp his mentor, Bill Parcells, into the ground. And the flight home for Dallas for the Saints, right? The flight home is like, you know, hour 10. And he told the pilot, hey, make it a little longer. I want to drink a couple extra beers because this is this is amazing tonight. So, like, just like things like that he does, that it's just, he's just so fun. And
thanks for listening to Saints Happy Hour. We are a family here. You know what families do? They support each other. And if you aren't a patron, we need your support. All the great content you consume for free takes time and money. If you love the show and listen regularly, please become a patron. We need you. Supporting Saints Happy Hour can cost you as little as 23 cents a day. That's what the Saints should have paid Kenny Stills. So please go to Patreon/Saints Happy Hour and support the show today.
Oh, do you remember the story about, so he was at a restaurant the night before. Let's see, who was it? It was Jerry Jones.
That's
in
right.
Dallas, right? And so they're basically like, well, what wine do you have? And they're like, well, we have all these bottles, but we have one that's not available. And mm-hmm. he's like, that's the one we want. Like, I want the one that's not available. And she's like, no, we can't give it to you. It's spoken for. Oh, and he's like, well, who has it? He's like, actually, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys brass are coming in tomorrow night. And that's their reserved bottle. And so Sean Payton's like, okay, well, we have to have that bottle. And so, you know, they negotiate. They end up paying more to get the bottle. And then they drink it. And then they leave it for Jerry Jones empty for the next night. And they leave a note on it like, thanks for the great bottle
of wine. I mean, that's amazing. Anna, thanks for reminding me about the Philadelphia style. It's just the thing with Sean Payton that he, and thanks again, Ann, that he understood, I think, Andrew, better than any coach that I can remember, is he understood that, like, all you have to do is acknowledge the fans' sort of craziness and a little bit. And it's not a point of, hey, if you start thinking like the fans and acting like the fans, you're going to be sitting with them. Not like that cliche. He never did that. But, like, you just have to acknowledge our insanity. Like he did with Eli. He's like, yeah, I'm rooting for Trey and I'm rooting for Vaughn. Eli, not as much. You know, like, he knew what was going on with Eli Apple. And it's just great that he, like, acknowledges that Saints fans were insane. You know, and I just think.
Yeah.
I just think that's great.
Let's keep it rolling. We got some people that want to talk. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay. Who we got? We got Kuyon. Go, Kuyon.
I'm sorry about the name, Ralph. I knew it'd trip you up.
I know, right?
All right. But I think my favorite thing about Sean Payton, though, is just how much he embraced the Saints Falcons rivalry.
Oh, my God.
And just as a fan, you know, you just appreciate a coach who loves to beat your bitter rival. And to have a 21-9 overall record against them couldn't be any better. I mean, going out and retiring after beating the Falcons in your last game.
And he twisted the knife. He twisted the knife on the way out. You know?
I know. I know. It was great.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I tweeted this today. I said, this is all you need to know about Sean Payton's greatness. On the day Sean Payton retired, Falcons fans treated it like it's their biggest win of the last 5 years. That's all you need to know about the greatness of Sean Payton.
Absolutely. So. And 100%. And it's just something that I think you need more of in sports. And I'm hoping that if it's Dennis Allen or Eric Bieniemy or whoever else is the next head coach can also embrace, because you see how much the fans enjoy that.
It's just, and the thing is, it doesn't affect anything about your coaching and how you run your team. You just sort of embrace the fan. You embrace what we care about and you acknowledge it. And we love you for it, you know. Like,
yeah. But you know, Sean Payton had his things. Like, I remember him kind of criticizing seafood and saying, you know, I'm kind of more of a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Like, and you know, there was other stuff. Like, he said some controversial, just political stuff in the wake of Will Smith guns. And yeah, I'm just saying, like, his comments publicly, and this isn't me, like, casting judgment or saying what side of the fence I'm on. I'm just saying he would put out political things that I would say didn't always resonate with half of the fan base or more. But because Sean Payton was unapologetically who he was, I feel like he was accepted despite the fact that he hated seafood, despite the fact that his politics sometimes didn't align with some of the fan base. It was like, we were cool with that because he was a football genius. He loved the Saints. He embraced the city of New Orleans, and that was good enough.
And you know, flip side of that, it also made the team embrace him more and also made New Orleans even more of an attractive destination for free agents because they knew it would have their back and believed in the same causes that they did.
Yeah. And awesome. And he said something interesting. He said today, one of the key things is, as a coach, is it's easier to just be fair than appear like you're being fair. And, you know, thanks again for joining us, Kuyon. We appreciate it. You know, Andrew, before we get to Devin and David, I want to say this. The thing that was amazing to me of Sean Payton is it was instantaneous that you were like, oh my God, this coach is good. And I know it's Cleveland, the first game in 2006, and you say, oh, it's the Browns, and ha, ha, ha. But I remember that game where the Saints, their run defense, for Jim Hazlitt, was terrible. And that game, Cleveland, the Saints shut their run game down. They had Reggie Bush moving around, which, by the way, in 2006 was like revolutionary of like, hey, I'm gonna put you in motion. I'm going to move the back around. I'm going to throw to him a ton. And I was just like, oh my God. He's coaching the pants off of Romeo Crennel. And I know it's the Browns, but it was like instant frickin-taneously. You knew, oh, this guy's good. Like, to me, that's how fast it was. And I was like you. I was like, eh, they hired him, whatever. I guess it's the best they can get because it's Katrina and all that. But from the jump, Sean Payton, you just saw it.
Well, you talk about culture. And to me, that message was sent really from day one. And we didn't know it yet because at the time this was still a brand new coach and there was a bunch of players that were brought in that we had never heard of. But looking back on it now, trading Dante Stallworth was a ballsy move. But it was like you're falling asleep and you're showing up late to practice, you're oversleeping, you're gone. And they traded him before the season started.
That's
Marcus
right.
Marcus Colston, rookie seventh round pick, you're up. You're starting. Stallworth, see you later. And at the time, Colston, they didn't realize he was going to be the legend he became. At the time, Colston was looking pretty good, but it wasn't that he was better than Stallworth. It was that he was showing up to practice. And for him to make that decision to trade him when you're a brand new coach, I mean, it required some stones, man. But looking back on it now, that was a culture he was trying to create from the very beginning.
Yeah. Devin, what's your thoughts on Sean Payton?
First of all, I'm a Bucks fan, but I come in peace. So this is a very, very happy day.
Get out of here. No, I'm kidding.
This is a very happy day for me. Listen, I know I'm a Bucks fan, and you guys don't think about us ever. And we're just the redheaded stepchild that just want to be your rivals. But this is just, I'm celebrating, guys. We couldn't get this guy's number. He's one of the best head coaches ever to coach in the NFL. I'd put him top five, top 10. But how's it going to feel when he takes that Dallas job?
I mean, it won't be this year. I think it'll be in 2 years. But like I said, maybe Devin, before you listen, I think there's like a 10-15% chance that he's awesome in TV and doesn't come back for a while or right at all. And I want to tell you this about, and thanks Devin for joining us. I want to say this, Devin, even though Sean Payton leaving and the Saints uncertain, the future is uncertain. I couldn't be happier that they're in the NFC South. Because here's the thing, Tom Brady, he's going to play one more year. He's going to monetize the hell out of his retirement tour. But after Tom Brady leaves, and probably Bruce Arians leaves, the NFC South is going to be the ghetto of the NFL. And like nine wins is going to win that division. It is going to be a trash pile. And I am happy to be there with the Saints in flux and the NFC. I can't wait. I'm going to make a prediction to you. Within the next 4 years, the NFC South will have a team win that division with a losing record. I guarantee.
NFC West. Like, I forget what year it was when the Seattle won. They were like 7-9.
And last year with Redskins.
Yeah, I want to be the first division winner with 10 losses in NFL history.
I will say this though. Sean Payton leaving helps the Tom Brady case to come back, because it's almost, if he comes back, I know we're going to lose pieces. It's almost a lock for us to win the division, even if we don't beat you guys. But I mean, it's just a very happy day for me. I do think you guys should have Dennis Allen should be the head coach.
Let's not forget that. It was Dennis Allen who was the head coach when you lost.
And that's exactly why he should be your head coach. That's exactly why he should be your head coach.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us, Evan. We appreciate it.
I can just say one last thing.
More, go ahead.
I just have to say it. Fuck the Saints. I'm sorry.
The Tampa fans, man. Tampa fans, they so badly want to be our rival. And they just can't. We're in a committed, hateful relationship with the Falcons, Devin. It's never changing. Like, that's what
it's cute,
is.
Though. It's cute that you want to be our rival.
And here's the thing.
We'll take it under advisement.
Before we get to David, I want to say this too. Like, Dennis Allen, Andrew, I want you to talk about your points that you made on the Breaking News podcast, which people can check out. But also you made to me when we were talking. You were saying, hey, Dennis Allen could be a great hire, but you want him to be his own man, and you want to see steps or things that he does that shows you, hey, we're not just trying to continue Sean Payton without Sean Payton. You want Dennis Allen to do some stuff to show, hey, I'm shaking things up. It's Dennis Allen's team now.
I think it is Dennis Allen's team. I think he's going to get the job. It makes a lot of sense to me. I support it. Look, I think when you consider the job he's done with his defense, and then on top of that, I really feel like that Bucks game was his audition, you know? And for them to win 9-0, I think he's the candidate. Now, I'm down with interviewing Aaron Glenn, and even if they decide not to give him the job, I think you strongly consider him for defensive coordinator, and see if you can poach him from the Lions, but... I would interview Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs if possible.
New Orleans native.
He's a New Orleans guy. And so look, like, I think you got to do your due diligence here. I don't think you just hire Dennis Allen and you keep things as is. Like, I don't think you do that. You've got to do what's best for the Saints. You've got to make the best hire to give us the best chance of winning. But look, Dennis Allen is being interviewed by other teams. So it's not like he's a guy that only makes sense for the Saints. He is a valuable commodity on the open market right now for teams looking for a head coach. And I think there's a good chance the Saints deem that he's the guy.
You know, and it gets tough because, you know, the jobs, the general manager jobs are getting filled. And once these teams start hiring head coaches, then they start putting together a staff. And if the Saints don't have a head coach, guys on the Saints staff will be like, well, I got offered the job with the Giants. I got offered a job with the Bears. Like, I got to take that gig because I don't know what's going on with the Saints. So they may have this pressure to, like, get it filled. I wonder how fast – I think the Dennis Allen thing could go pretty fast. Like, I think it's kind of all – it's kind of like the Saint – like you said, like, that was his audition against Tampa and he's going to fill it. And they, like, kind of stinks for Aaron Glenn maybe that it's kind of like they needed to check the box for the Rooney rule. We'll see.
But don't you think Aaron Glenn is interviewing for that defensive coordinator job just as much as the head coach job?
Yeah. I mean, I know he interviewed for the head coaching job in Denver. I think he would be, it would be, if he was, here's the thing with Detroit. Detroit is so, their roster is so awful that I think it would be a great move for Aaron Glenn, even if he comes to the Saints and, hey, it's Dennis Allen and it's defense, and people would kind of maybe not give him full credit. But, I mean, if Aaron Glenn comes to the Saints and the Saints, they keep Marcus Williams, maybe they get better health and figure some things out, and they squeeze into the playoffs next year because of their – and it would be because of their defense, right? Then Aaron Glenn, boom, you're on the real fast track to getting a gig. So
I would look at – I mean, first of all, Aaron Glenn, if his choice is the Lions or the Saints, I think even a lateral move in terms of just the position title, I mean, between those two defenses, it's obvious which one you would want to join. So I think he would make the move, number one. And I would pose him this question. Do you want your linebacker to be Pete Werner or Anzalone? The choice is yours.
I forgot Anzalone's with the Lions. Oh my God.
You pick, bro. Which you, team you want?
You pick
Anzalone or you want DeMario Davis? Which one sounds
good? Yeah, which tough call. David, what's your thoughts on Sean Payton leaving?
Okay, so for the Bucs fan that was just on, we owned the Bucs long before Sean Payton, and we will still own the Bucs after Sean Payton.
Jim Haslett owned the Bucs.
Exactly. I mean, come on.
He did. You know?
Right.
Like, we own the
so,
Bucs.
There's two things I think the Saints are going to do as far as hiring a new coach. They're either going to hire Dennis Allen and have Chris Richard or Ryan Nielsen be defensive coordinator and Pete Carmichael be offensive coordinator. Or the only other option I could see is hiring an offensive minded head coach, because since we're a defensive oriented team now, I think we need, since our offense is so putrid, we need that, you know, that spark for our offense. We need someone with offensive mind that can, you know, push this offense. Okay. The third thing about Sean Payton, right? I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this. And, like, I appreciated everything Sean Payton has done for us. But especially if he leaves the following year, or if he goes to another team for the following year, it feels like he is jumping ship when things are getting difficult.
It would kind of feel like that way.
I hear that, but I think it's also important to remember that things got difficult a couple times along the way. I mean, Rob Ryan, yes, my God, the Rob Ryan, the Spagnuolo year. I mean, some of these defenses were the worst defenses in NFL history, and he stayed around for the fix twice.
I feel like more than any other time in Sean Payton's tenure, we needed him now more than ever.
Well, that's the thing of all of it, his game planning, the biggest thing that terrifies me the most, David, and thanks for joining us. And I've said this to Andrew, the biggest thing that terrifies me the most is the Saints need a quarterback, and now Sean Payton's not going to be making that decision. The thing that gave me so much confidence, you know, right after the Atlanta game, they didn't make the playoffs, is you were like, they're going to get healthy. They're not going to have as bad a season. They're not going to set the record for most starters used in a season again. And we have Sean Payton, and he's proven he can win with Taysom. He can, you know, he can win with Teddy Bridgewater. He almost won with McCown against the NFC champion Carolina Panthers in 2015. He won with Breeze. He can make almost any quarterback. He won with Jameis. He can make almost any quarterback look pretty good. And now you don't have that. And now you need a quarterback. Jameis is going to be gone. So, like, if you're going to be drafting a guy, who makes the final decision on the evaluation? Is it Ireland? Is it Mickey? Is it Pete Carmichael? Like, you have huge decisions. Like, put it this way. In the draft, if the Saints had Sean Payton as coach in 2022 and they said, oh, you know, the little on ESPN said, oh, the Saints have traded up to fifth and they've given up a they've given up their 2022 second and their 2023 first, and they've moved, they're moving up to number five and they're picking Pickett from University of Pittsburgh. If Sean Payton was here, we'd be like, gotta trust Sean. He knows what he's doing. That's a ton to give up, and he's a rookie, but gotta trust Sean Payton. He knows what he's doing with quarterbacks. Now, whatever the Saints do at quarterback, Andrew, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be giving them the side eye, and I'm going to be on brand and panicked.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So I think it's likely they draft a quarterback this year. Okay. But let's keep it rolling. We got some other requests.
Yeah, we got some other requests. I want to – JP, we're going to try to get to JP, freaking football, Chattyu, and Scarf. JP, what's your thoughts on Sean Payton leaving? JP, are you there?
It says he's trying to connect, so he might be let's try and maybe get back to him.
Freaking football, what's your thoughts on Sean Payton leaving?
Oh,
freaking football, you there?
How you guys?
Hey, Scarf, what's going on?
Let's go, Scarf, yeah.
Scarf, go.
Hey, y'all, this is Ryan. So,
oh, hey, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm the scourge of Saints Twitter, by the way. how the kids, Ralph? How the kids?
The kids, all right. I mean, you know, he was wondering why Daddy was sad today. You know, the cast came up. He was wondering why Daddy was sad and drinking in the afternoon. I had to explain to him that Sean Payton was leaving.
Well, Andrew, how did your kids take it?
My daughter said, "Who is Sean Payton?" So that's kind of the state of affairs with my daughter. My son, you know, he's a diehard, and we were in the car driving to basketball practice, and he just goes, he's blindsided, you know, because he doesn't really listen to our show, and he wasn't like aware of the noise and all that. You know, I don't really tell him about kind of the text messages that I send with people and, you know, and all that. So he's just like, man, like, why did Sean Payton leave? Like, yeah, he's like, he doesn't understand it. Like, he can't believe it. He's blindsided. I mean,
and that's perfectly fine, because I think when you look at, I thought about it last night. I think, Andrew, you follow me on Twitter. I said Chuck Noll was 59 when he retired. Bill Cowher was 58 when he retired. Sean Payton is around the same age that
Chuck Noll. That's right. I didn't realize Chuck Noll was so young. Wow.
Yeah, Chuck Noll was 59 when he retired. And Sean Payton was 58 when he retired. And I'm thinking, you know, there's kids that only know Sean Payton as the head coach of the Saints. And it's the same way with people in Pittsburgh. Kids, people of a certain generation, all they know, you know, they were born when Chuck Noll became head coach of the Steelers, and by the time they graduated college, he had retired. And I think, to me, Ralph, and I'll be brief, I just think Sean was just tired. He was just tired. I was at that Dolphins game, and I just thought of him just going through the motions, and I'm like, this is so wrong. This game shouldn't be played. It just felt out of sync.
Well, I think that's a fair point. I mean, Ryan, and thanks for joining us. We can try to squeeze in some more people as we before we get out of here at 10. Andrew, that's a good point. I mean, he said in his press conference today he wasn't tired. He joked that he looked that way because he's out of shape.
I gotta say, Ralph, like, I think he was out of shape. And look, he got COVID, and certainly the Dolphins game was a joke and all that. But, like, I gotta say, I'm not buying this whole, like, he was burnt out. I mean, maybe he was feeling, he said in training camp he was feeling like this was the beginning of the end, but I got to say, this season was maybe one of his finest.
My finest,
when you consider what he was up against and what he did with what he had to work with and all the adversity, this was one of his best coaching seasons. So I don't, maybe he was burnt out. Maybe he was kind of like, yeah, this is it. This is my last ride. I can't do it anymore after this. But it certainly didn't show on the field, because he wasn't mailing it in, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I thought I know their offense was bad, and they were 31st in passing, and they were closer to 32 at points than they were closer to 30 in passing yards. So it was a struggle. But I felt like they damn near did everything. They were doing everything possible, and he was invigorated to try to figure it freaking out. And
my thing is, they would have had more yards passing, and they would have gotten more reckless if their defense wasn't so good. But he chose to be more careful because he knew that was the path to winning games.
Yeah, and that's to me, that was of all the things that he did, game management, knowing how to call a game and the gameplay. The biggest thing that impressed me the most with Sean Payton is he wasn't one of these coaches that was stuck in, like, I'm going to run my offense like Mike Martz. It's like, I'm only protecting with five, and if my quarterback dies, he dies. Like, Sean Payton was totally willing, like, when they played Carolina at the end of the year, he's, like, totally willing to just be like, I'm just going to run Kamara into the ground, and Sam Darnold has 30 yards of offense since the first quarter, and I am not going to let my offense lose this game. And if I got to punt three straight times on their side of the 50, I don't give a damn about your analytics and what it says. I'm just going to keep pinning them back, and Sam Darnold's going to screw it up. And I just think his willingness or ability, whatever you want to call it, to do that, shows such a great growth as coach. Because you see, that's the thing. Like, I can't go back to poverty coaching, Andrew. I can't.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's
JP, what you got?
Hey, I was just going to remind everybody. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I believe it was in Sean Payton's book, the story about when, you know, he was going to have his first draft back in 06. And he found out Reggie Bush was going to be available, and he was at dinner, and he got a call from Bush's agent.
That's right.
And said, don't draft Reggie Bush. And Sean Payton, in typical Sean Payton fashion, said, you know, fuck you. And then apparently hung up the phone on.
That's right. Sean Payton, he's drawing a place for what he's going to do with Reggie at dinner. His agent called and Trump. But the thing is, though, that's what he was, the exact perfect hire for the Saints. Because maybe if the Saints, they hire another coach that's not as confident or whatever, and he's like, well, Reggie doesn't want to be here. Maybe we shouldn't. Like, the Saints, they hire Sean Payton. Sean Payton's like, I don't give a damn. Like, we're picking you at two, buddy. Deal with it. Like, you know, so it was tremendous. And you know, all I can say is, and JP, thanks for joining us. We gotta wrap this up. We got to wrap this up because I got to – by the way, if you're in New Orleans, WWL 615, I'll be making jokes on the morning show with Eric Paulson. So join us. But anybody that joined this Twitter space, and if you liked what you heard, please consider – don't even consider, do it. Go to saintshappyhour.com and become a patron. We do this every freaking day. We cover the Saints like nobody else. We have the most breaking news analysis, all of it. And, Andrew, they get a swag box with Crew to Taysom Cup, Drew Brees, thank you cup. We might have to do a Sean Payton thank you cup as our next swag. And you get the Saints season survival mug. It makes all your alcohol taste 55% better. It's proven by science.
So I'm just saying, yeah.
So thanks to everybody. We had a ton of people in the Twitter spaces. We might have to make this a regular thing.
I think Freakin is in here. He's muted. Do you want to get, you want to chime
yeah,
in real quick?
Freaking get
yeah,
in.
Sure. Yeah, I was just congratulations to Sean Payton. I mean, like, he had a great career. I'm happy for him. It sucks, but like, I'm not going to like be mad at him for anything. And I'm just like kind of glad it ended on his terms. Cause like one of my fears, like a couple years when for like past few years, when I know that Drew's retiring was like, if like, you know, somehow the ownership changed and Sean Payton was still here and he'd go out like Tom Landry and we get to see him, we have to see him like walk out, like holding his box. I'm like, oh God, this would be just so sad.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. I mean, most coaches, Don Shula got kicked to the curb. Landry got kicked to the curb. Most coaches, it doesn't end well. You know, you don't get to leave on your own terms with a 92-minute press conference thanking everybody and trying to fight back tears. That's just, it's not how it goes, you know? So I would say, Andrew, you got as happy an ending as you can have unless you were holding up a Lombardi trophy. That's the only way this ending, I think, could have been better.
Yeah, yeah. But look, I mean, if you told me right now you get 16 years of Sean Payton, this is the win-loss record, you get one Super Bowl, and we all take it. No question.
Oh, 100%. You could tell me, if you told me 16 years ago, you'd be like, you're going to get a Super Bowl in the first 4 years, and then you're going to get all this playoff pain, I still would have done it. Like,
a question.
Sign me up. I would do it again. If you told me that Dennis Allen is going to give you 16 years the exact same as Sean Payton, but it's going to be twice as much playoff pain, but I still get a Super Bowl, I'd do it again. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Guys, everybody, thanks for joining us. We appreciate y'all. This was great fun. We're going to try to do this regularly during the offseason. And let me tell you, the Saints offseason, it's going to be – the most bonkers Saints offseason of your entire life. It's going to be crazy. It starts tomorrow. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Become a patron, and we will see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.